This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Welcome to season 2 of Unsigned and Independent.
We have another episode and another season of this. And Kevin, kind of restate your goal for why you started this show.
So the goal was, when I first came to Nashville, I saw all these bands, artists that I thought were really good. And I didn't understand why I've never heard of this person or this group. And I wanted to get them on to talk about, you know, the late nights on Broadway and playing late, getting up early, and just the whole grind of the industry without the backing of a label or a record company.
Or a management team. Or, which all the things I hope to get, right? And what would be cool is to see some of these folks develop into signed and not independent.
Exactly.
Because when we started the Bobbycast a long time ago, that was the deal. We had a lot of artists on and songwriters that later became stars. I think about Ryan Hurd, who was just a songwriter. We talked to him. Was, all right, new guy Hurd. You know, and he would talk about how hard it was to write songs, get a publishing deal. But this is what you're doing even a step farther back. It's like a prequel.
Yeah.
The early Bobbycast. And so who'd you talk with this time?
This is Tara Pfister.
Why Tara?
Because I met her through somebody I had on the first season last year, actually. His name is Graham, and he kind of told me about her, introduced me to her, came across her stuff. And she had this presence about her, has this presence about her. She's got bright hair, bright clothes, tattoos. She's got this presence on stage where you're just like, I need to know more about this girl.
She good live?
Yeah, she's great.
So you talk with her. She's from St. Louis. She's been here for 10 years or so. Does she have the frustration of, hey, why hasn't this happened for me yet?
No, she has such a good outlook on, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do and everything else will kind of take care of itself. She's had her frustrated days or her weeks, you know, taking care of everything, funding everything, managing everything. But overall, she's got a good outlook on the bigger picture.
Well, good for her, because I don't. All right, here we go. Unsigned and Independent with Kevin O'Connell, a.k.a. Kickoff Kevin. Here is Tara Pfister here on the Bobbycast. In a special edition. By the way, is this a new season?
Yes.
Oh, I did. Music to my ears. Season 2, Episode 1 of Unsigned and Independent.
Hey, Tara. Good to see you. Good to have you in here. How long has it been since you moved to Nashville?
It'll be 10 years this July, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. So going July 4th, I moved down.
Okay.
I like literally pulled into town as the fireworks are going off.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a cute little story.
That's awesome. I saw the fireworks show here a couple of years ago, and it's probably the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, as long as the smoke doesn't blur it out, right?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. What was your mindset coming in from St. Louis to Nashville? Were you like, oh my gosh, I want to be all over the radio. I want to, you know, sign with this person or this label and do this and this? Or was it kind of just freelancing, let's see what happens, let's move and just chase a dream here?
Yeah, well, I had just turned 21. I worked at a Ford dealership.
Okay.
And I was coming to Nashville about once a month just to do a writer's round and try to create some type of circle or community or just, you know, get my feet wet. And one night after a writer's round, I was hanging out with a group of friends and we were going to the Preds game. So we were standing in Rippey's and just standing there, you know, taking in the scene. and a guy on stage whose name was Greg Humphrey, he just pointed me out in the crowd and he was like, "You're a singer." And at that time, I'd had enough beverages where I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm a singer." And he got me on stage and I sang a couple songs and he threw the tip jug at me and he was like, "If you can come back with this tip jug full, I'll have a job for you." I was like, "Deal." So I ran the tip jar and I came back and I gave him my card and he called me 2 weeks later. I went to the game, went back to St. Louis, you know, went about my life. And he called me about 2 weeks later and he was like, "What are you doing for CMA Fest?" And I was like, "Whatever you tell me I'm doing." So he's like, "Well, why don't you come down? You can play with my band, blah, blah, blah." So I came down 2 weeks later, played with his band, went back home. And then he called me again about 2 weeks later and said, "If you want to move, you have a job."
Wow.
So I packed up everything, which was like a bag of shoes, a bag of clothes, my guitar, a microphone, and my car. And moved like a week later and slept on one of my girlfriend's couches for a couple weeks and then segued into somebody's apartment that the roommate situation didn't work out and then into a house. And here I am 10 years later.
Do you like the idea that it was just so sudden and like you had to make a decision right then and there, almost as if you didn't have to maybe build up to it and think about it too much, or just like, you know what, why not? Let's do it.
Well, if I was being honest with myself, I would say that I always knew. Even when I was itty bitty, like when people would ask me when I was little, you know, "What do you want to do?" I would always answer with like, "I want to be the girl in music videos." And I meant the singer, like, you know, not the main character, but okay. Me watching like Reba on the TV or whatever. I'd be like, "I want to be the girl in music videos." And so I think there was no really thinking having to be done. I've always known in my core that no matter what I was doing, it would be revolved around music. What surprises me the most about it is my parents just looked at me and they're like, "Okay, see you later." I was that part when I think about it, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I was so naive. I had never lived out of my house. I had never paid bills." Like even when I was in college, I was going to a university right down the road. So I had lived with my parents. Like I just looked at my parents. I was like, "I think I'm going to move to Nashville." My mom's like, "Great. We'll see you later."
Really?
I was like, "Oh, okay, bye."
Did you think she might be a little reluctant to it? Either of your parents, like, "Oh, I don't know if this is such a good idea. You don't know if you're going to really make it," or are they always been that supportive?
They've always been really supportive. I'd like to think that I was always pretty straightforward with them too. I wasn't a big head. Like I wasn't I wasn't sneaking out and lying and doing whatever. So, and they've known, you know, my first job was working at a music store and I started taking piano lessons when I was itty bitty and took every lesson you can think of from there on out. And I think it was a very natural segue into where I am at now.
Was music always a big thing for you?
Yes, it's a little bit of everything. So I have my dad is one of six and all of his sisters, there's three boys and three girls, all of them sing. My grandma plays killer piano. I just have vivid memories of show tunes when dinner was over and washing dishes and all of my aunts would split into harmonies and sing Oklahoma or Carousel or whatever was in their mind that day. So kind of started there. And my mom always joked about that I kind of came out singing. My brother was in theater. My sister was a big rock head. My dad loved the Rat Pack. My mom was into country. So, and I was the youngest. So I was just kind of a little melting pot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So youngest of just a brother and a sister?
Correct.
Okay. So youngest of three. Are you the only artist in the I guess you guys all have some musical talent involved?
My brother does. So okay. It's my sister Lee, my brother Steven, and myself. And Steven is a theater kid. So he did it, you know, as an adult as well. And he's phenomenal. He's one of those guys that, like, they always told him that his biggest challenge in life would be deciding if he wants to build and paint the stage or be on it.
Wow.
Yeah, he can do anything.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're not the most talented in the family, or are you?
Equally talented, I'd like to say. Okay. Equally talented. Okay. Different tastes. It's like apples and oranges.
Okay.
You know, we're still the same thing.
You mentioned Reba. You'd watch her on TV growing up. Who are some of your other idols or musicians, bands that you looked up to and maybe still look up to?
Well, when I was little, it's interesting. I was kind of forced sounds harsh, but it wasn't harsh. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. So really the only thing I could watch was CMT that had music involved, you know? So, Leanne Womack was huge for me.
Okay.
Leanne Womack was kind of my lady. She's still my lady crush. But at this point in my life, I think someone who has a huge influence over me, I love the Foo Fighters. I love Billy Joel. Those two are kind of my main, like, they can fit. And honestly, I am a pretty huge John Mayer fan. And I know people can talk all sorts of smack, but I really do enjoy his guitar playing. Like, I just love his tone. Yeah. Anything he does, I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you. He has an album that kind of changed the way that I started playing, that I started singing. Just listening to him, The Search for Everything. And I had that, I still feel like a man. I love that whole album. So
that's awesome. I've never seen him. I would love to see him.
He's fantastic. I mean, he really is. My friend Garrett and I went. Garrett Thorne, he's a fellow artist as well, Wisconsin guy. But we made the agreement going in. I was like, neither of us is going to talk, like, at all. And he was like, I agree. So we literally just went in there and, like, stood next to each other and just, like, consumed the entire show in silence. It was great.
And soaked it all in.
And soaked it all in, yeah.
That's a great idea. I don't think I've ever even thought about doing something like that. But it's almost like one of those, you're like, you know what? I'm going to live in the moment right now, right here. I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even want to do it. I just want to act like I'm sitting in my car listening to him by myself or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I've learned that the older I get and the more I can kind of like sit and reflect on myself and who I am and how I've grown, I've noticed that I really cannot concentrate if there's music in the room. Like if there's music going on, even if it's a bar downtown and people are trying to talk or have conversations and, you know, mingle, my brain, I'm just watching the music. I'm like, so it's nice to have concert buddies that kind of have the same mindset. You just go in there like, okay, we're both going to thoroughly enjoy this standing next to each other. And that's it.
And as an
artist, we can talk later.
Are you watching or listening? I should say more than anything, listening and thinking. Are you hearing everything going on? Like you're not just hearing a song, if that makes sense. Are you kind of breaking it down in your head?
Oh yeah. Right? I think,
Cause you have an ear for it and you're in it. Like I'm not musically talented at all.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't understand like I would some other things like you would with it. So it's just interesting to me. If you sit there and listen to it, you're probably listening to a whole different sound than say I would be.
I think that's a fair statement. But I also think, you know, with this being what I do, it's also nice to watch other people, you know, even the visuals. You look and you're like, okay, well, you know, like how am I consuming this? Like, well, obviously like auditory and visual. So how would I have done that? Would I have put that piano there? Would I have set the stage that way? Would I have these lights at this time? Was that confetti on point? You know, like whatever it is you're doing, big or small, I just like to like research how other people present their passion.
Do you find yourself, it's funny you bring that up because I'll do that with like TV shows or radio shows, you know, working in the industry. And I'll be like, well, where's the producer? Why isn't he telling this person to do this or whatever
it may
be? I do
that with movies all the time now. I'm like, oh, look at this shot. I'm like, no, Tara, get consumed.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're not enjoying the movie now. You're just looking at the background.
So that's what I was going to ask. Do you think it like kind of hinders your enjoyment of a show or no? Is it more of an art to you that you're just trying to figure out in your mind?
I think it's more of an art. And I think something else, so I've made my New Year's resolution was to see one show a month. Because I think when you're a creator, when you're making music constantly, you forget to go get it. Like you forget to go get it in your blood again. And you kind of forget, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I've got to play that night. Like I'm not going to go see this show, you know. But every time I leave a concert, I'm always so happy I did that. I'm always like, oh man, I needed that. Like I think as an artist, you forget. You know, you're like giving, but you forget that when you go to the concert, that artist is giving to you. Like you fill your cup back up and you forget that you can do that at concerts. Mm-hmm. Even in small venues, you know, there's so many great stages in Nashville that are itty bitty that you can just go and you're like, oh man, I didn't even know I needed that. And you just walk out of there going like, I feel different than I did walking in.
You have a very profound look to you where it's like you walk in and you have this bright hair and these tattoos and a lot of your outfits are very bright and colorful.
Yeah.
And is that something that you have always done throughout your life? Like growing up as a teenager, did you always have different, how many hair color shades have you had, do you think?
Probably most of them.
Okay. Is that something that you dive into and you just really enjoy just bringing out your personality with it, whether it's your tattoos or your outfits or your hair? Because I love it. I mean, you walk in and you just scream confidence.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So it just, that's what I
got
take from
you
it.
Again.
And that's what I, exactly. Okay, so maybe it's just a front then.
No, I think with each passing year, I definitely settle more and more into it. I think it's who I've always been. I think as a teenager, you know, you're always, you don't really, I don't think majority of us know exactly who we are as teenagers. We have a vague outline, right?
Yes.
But the colors have always been part of me. I enjoy colors. I don't have, I like a nice solid black dress every once in a while. But other than that, I'm whatever catches my eye that day is going on. So, and a lot of times I don't think they really make a whole lot of sense, but my friends tell me I look cool. So that's great.
Well, I think you look cool too.
Thanks.
Since you moved to Nashville and you started playing music right away, has this always been your source of income for you? Or have you had to have multiple jobs at some points? Like, what's that been like for you?
There was about a year where I bartended, but that was mostly because I wanted to bartend. I'd never bartended before, and I just woke up and was like, I want to try bartending one day. So I did that for about a year. And no, other than that, I've always done music full time since I was 21.
Okay. Do you think that's pretty rare for you to, because I talked to some people and they'll be like, yeah, I've had to serve for a year, like had to serve or had to bartend or had to do another job during the day and then perform at night. So do you find yourself pretty lucky, or do you find other people as well who can come here and make a living just doing music from the get-go?
I think it really depends on your personality. It depends on your personality and your work ethic and your, honestly, your ability to live at a lower income at moments in your life. Like if you have the ability to go like, okay, well, you know, my bank account has $4 in it, but I know I'm going to work tonight and I know I'm working this weekend. And so I just have to make $4. I have to not freak out at having $4. If you can have the wherewithal to just like chill yourself out, you'll be fine. I've always, you know, my dad has a great saying of like, what did he always used to tell us when we were little? It was something along the lines of like, you may never have excess, but somehow you will always have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's like a blind faith thing or if it's just like a, you know, you get what you put out, but I have always had enough. And there's been moments of like, you know, holy shit, that was a big paycheck. So I'd like more of those.
Just, anybody's listening.
Yeah, Pacer, universe, if you're out there.
There you go.
I'd like some more of those, please.
Speak it into existence.
Yes. I'm here. Show me which door to walk through.
When you hit those low moments, whether it's monetarily or professionally, have you had a moment where you're like, I don't know if this is what I want to do anymore?
No.
You've never gotten there?
No, I've had moments of like, I may have moments of going like, man, what am I doing with my life? But it always resolves to exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And it's just not easy. So you're going to be uncomfortable. You are human. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have self-doubt. You're going to compare yourself at time, you know, to those around you and wonder why you didn't get that call or, you know, oh my gosh, there's so much, you know, thinking someone's better than you are. But no one can do it like I can do it. And I can't do it like they can do it.
Do you play downtown a lot or no?
I play down there when I'm in town, like Monday through Wednesday.
And then you're traveling on the weekends?
Traveling on the weekends,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you out, like on tour right now or are you?
I did a little tour last year. As of right now, my next thing I think is in, I'm going to Oregon. I haven't done like a tour, like a drive-by-drive. Mine are more like flight dates, I guess you'd say.
Are you filling in kind of thing, or is it like a band that you're with?
It's kind of about half and half.
Okay.
So half of them will be acoustic dates and half of them will be band dates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a pretty busy year coming up, or?
I hope so. Yeah. It's I've got a couple dates. I'm supposed to be playing in, I think it's October. I'm going over to Switzerland to play a festival. It's called Badenfart. So that'll be, I'm excited for that one. They have like a 10-day festival where the whole city shuts down. And I've been over there a couple times. I think 3 or 4 times now. So shout out to Baden, Switzerland. Hi, guys. Looking forward to that.
Do you pay for all this out of pocket?
Everything I've ever done is out of my own pocket.
What's that like for you? Trying to, you're booking your own stuff. You're paying, you're your own everything, right?
Correct.
So what does that
entail?
Is that overwhelming for you?
There are moments where, especially last year, and I feel going into this year where I'm like, okay, I understand why this takes a team. Because sometimes I just kind of look around, I'm like, ah, like, there's a lot of things I need to do right now. But I think it's also, I'm grateful for it now because I think when the time comes that I'm able to afford to have that team, I will be understanding of their situations. You know, it won't be so expected. It'll be more like a, okay, happens that, yeah, that was weird. Let's, you know, segue this way or whatever we have to do. And it's allowed me to just learn the business, you know, like, what do they call it? Baptism by fire. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. So if anything goes wrong in the future and you have a team, you're like, well, I've been there. I understand. Here's how we can either fix it or you can understand and not just yell at them.
Right. Within reason, or have my feelings hurt or be frustrated. You know, it's like frustration can only get you so far. And then it's like, you just have to do something about it, you know?
Right. Right.
So, but it's, so the last 2 years I've been in the studio making my, second album, and everything I have has been put into this album financially, emotionally, musically, anything, sonically, whatever, you know, everything I have has gone into this album. And just within this past month, are they like cherry on top being sent to mix and master? And it's been such an enjoyable process. And, you know, the creating part is always the fun part, is always the, that's, you know, why I'm here. It's like why the soul's in this body doing what I'm doing. But now it's coming down to the business part where I'm going to have to present this to investor or, you know, shop myself around, whatever it is. And I have my ideas of how I want to do it. And, but I'm looking now for those people to help me execute. And I'm just really excited to see what happens.
Do you have a date set or a time frame set for the launch? I mean, obviously you're promoting it here. What's the album called?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? And the mic is all your, floor is all yours.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to, so I've got 10 songs. I'm going to release them single for single to get my wear and tear out of it. But I've also told myself with this project, because my first experience recording, my first album, I was so like, deadline, 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 which I was only doing to myself. Nobody was doing this to me. I was just kind of like, no, I want it by this time. I want to do it here. And I've learned that listening back to those songs, I'm like, those things that bothered me, even though I was like, oh, it's not a big deal, I was like, they still bother me. Till this day, I listen to those songs and all I hear are the parts that bother me. Mm. So I've told myself that I'm allowing myself to take as much time as this is, where I know that it is exactly what I want. And although it's more money and it's more time and it's, time's not real, right? Yeah. Let's talk about it. Clocks are made up.
This is actually a time podcast.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to allow myself grace and like let my OCD just rest for a second. Anytime I'm like, I want it now. And the guy that I'm working with, he's one of my very good friends. His name's Jay Cott. He plays bass for Randy Houser. He's helped me produce this whole thing. And, he's always like, hey, remember, you've got time. Like, I know you want to do it. I know you want to, I know we want to push this forward. He's like, but let's live with it. Give it a couple days. Let your ears come in and out of it. And let's see how we attack it from here. Mm-hmm. And he's always right. I'm like, no, let's, you know, like, I think this is great. Let's move. Where he's like, just give it a couple days. You know, you're like, and I'm so grateful for him talking me off the ledge all the time.
It's hard to be patient, though. It's like that old saying where if you go buy a car or a house or something, the first one you look at, you're like, oh, I love this. I want to get this. And you're like, well, no, let's look at a couple other ones first.
Yeah, yeah.
And
deep
if you
breaths.
Still, if you still like that one, then we'll come back to that one, right? So
yeah.
It's kind of like that same mentality where you're like, you can't just jump on something and then just get it out there or buy it, purchase it, and then be like, well, I probably should have thought about this a little bit harder. More.
Yeah.
And that previous album you're talking about was your self-titled debut album, correct?
It was, called, yeah.
29 Years of Learning?
That's just how I described it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just self-titled. It was Tara Lynn Pister.
Okay. And that's, is that pretty much self-explanatory, 29 Years of Learning, and it's
yeah.
just all the stuff you learned over the years? And
a lot of fun and a lot of... It was just, that was kind of a coming of age album, I think. Those mm-hmm. songs are, even when I play them now, although a few of them have kind of evolved for me in my mind, but, or like changed meaning, you know,
mm-hmm.
not what they once were.
I thought it was interesting because there are three songs are Hellraiser, Scars, and Home. All three, to me, were totally different than each other.
Yeah.
Like you had the Hellraiser is like this old, almost like a blues old, like, you're raising hell kind of girl, I'm a badass girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the Scars kind of had, like, that rock feel to it. And
yeah.
then Home is, like, this homey feel to it. So
yeah.
I thought it was interesting. And all three are great, by the way. So if you're listening to this, go stream that. Go check it out
Thank
now.
You.
And is that something that you aim for? Is it a song that comes to you and however it comes out, you're not really aiming at a certain genre or a certain... feel to it. It's just like, this is how I listen to it. This is how I hear it. And it comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I stand firmly on the ground of like a good song is a good song. period. And if I feel as though if I were to create music to fit in a certain genre, I would be denying myself. As I explained to you earlier, I grew up around everything. So I feel like if I try to, whether I go like, oh, this is just going to be a rock album, or this is just going to be a country album, or this is just going to be a roots album, or, you know, however it would go. And maybe I can talk to someone who knows more than I am that, or more than I do, that can kind of help me, you know, round out the edges. But I just try to live by a good song is a good song. And if you can play it acoustic and it stands on its own, it's a good song. So whether it's country or it's rock, I'm going to put it out, mm-hmm. you know, because somewhere down the line, someone's going to listen to it and go like, I needed that today. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like the versatility.
Thank you.
And I want to close out with this. I try to ask everybody this. What advice, because moving to Nashville, chasing the dream, living a life that doesn't really, there's not much security in it. Everyone knows it, but you kind of, yeah. you do it for the love of it, right?
Yeah.
So what advice would you give somebody listening to this that's like, hey, you know, I have a job that I hate and I really want to kind of try this, but I don't know if it's going to work out, that are on the ropes or whatever it might be. Do you have any advice for somebody that may be sitting there?
Do it. Just do it. And you don't have to know what it looks like, and you don't have to know what it tastes like or feels like or what room you're in. But if you are sincerely doing something every day that is not feeding your soul or making you grow as a human being, stop. Don't do that. Whether you have to live with your parents for another year or however you have to figure it out, find what makes you tick and go for it. Jump.
Do it. Take the leap. Yeah. I like it. Tara, thank you so much for coming on. Where can you find you on social media?
Everything, my handle's at I am Fister, my last name, Fister.
Okay. Go check her out. Check out her music. That self-titled debut album, Hellraiser, Scars, and Home, the three songs are awesome. Check it out. Tara, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.